It's in you.
I personally believe how you go about achieving something is more important than the achievement itself. Razel Jones.
I need some motivation.
Motivation.
Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Crowding myself and I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. I'm Jeremiah Sullivan, and I'm your host. If this is your first time listening, this is a podcast that is designed to help you with your overall success, with your leadership, your mindset, your goals, your overall performance. And in summary, you know, what it helps you with is winning. You know, we all love to win, whether it's a small victory or a big one. Today's episode is going to be a very, very special one. And I want to start it off by asking everybody a question. And that question is, you know, if you were to have superior discipline, consistency, and persistence, do you think that you could accomplish 10 times what you're accomplishing now? You know, and the answer to that is probably yes for many of us. If we were to improve those areas of our life, we could achieve more. And with that comes more fulfillment, more happiness, and we realize our potential. You know, there's nothing more satisfying than personal growth. And today's guest epitomizes those words. She's all about personal development. She epitomizes growth. She epitomizes persistence. She's a high achiever. She's a challenge seeker. She's a mother. She's a masseuse. And she made history as the first woman to climb the incline here in Manitou, Colorado, 1,000 times in a year. Okay. We're going to talk about the depth of that accomplishment, but the Manitou here in incline, if you can picture the World Trade Center, this thing is taller than the World Trade Center. Okay. And she did it 1,000 times in 365 days, of which she did 440 climbs with a newborn on the way. So pretty amazing, you know, going through snow, heat, rain, good days, bad days, an incredible feat, and just an amazing human being. I'm excited to bring in, ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Michelle Jones.
Hey, Jeremiah. Thank you so much for having me. So excited to talk with you about this.
I know. Me too. It's like we were saying off camera, it's going to be a breath of fresh air.
It is. I feel like I get to talk to someone about the mindset and the mental strength that this took. And I know that you're someone who really values and appreciates that. And you're going to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Not everybody is, like we were saying, not everybody's out there seeking challenges and trying to make life more difficult on themselves.
Yeah. Right?
Everybody's trying to take an easier path.
Most aren't. It's very difficult to explain that I wanted to put myself through this. And it's very difficult to explain that it became harder and harder. And that's what I wanted.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to today for the agenda, like I mentioned before, I want to get into, I want the audience to know you. I want them to know the depth of the achievement that you've just accomplished. And, you know, I want to pull apart some of your strategies for achieving such a high, you know, level of success and making history. I think it's amazing. And so basically the agenda is to know about Rachel, understand the scope of your accomplishment. And really what I wrote down is I want to know more about winning the inner battles of, not quitting, persistence, discipline, consistency, and all those things that go into the mindset of this accomplishment. So that's what I'm looking forward to diving into and excited to pick your brain a little bit here.
Cool.
Let's start off with a little bit about you. Can you kind of just, well, first, because I don't think I did a good job of explaining what the incline is. Could we just real quick talk about how difficult of a challenge that you just completed is, and then can we just jump into your personal story? Would you mind? How do you explain that to people? How do you explain to people what you've accomplished?
It's so hard to explain. Even if I give you the stats, it's still hard. You have to see it. You have to be there to really get how difficult this challenge is. It's one of the most extreme trails in the country. And that's because the trail itself consists of railroad ties. It used to be a train track. I believe it was for utilities. It became a huge tourist attraction and people actually rode these carts up and down those tracks. And it's at such a steep angle. It's like it was the most extreme inclined angle that brought people from all over to ride it, which is crazy. I think riding in that thing is crazier than climbing it 1,000 times in a year.
No doubt.
It looks scary. If you just Google old Manitou incline pictures, you'll get some images of people dressed up and riding that thing. But after it was shut down, I believe in the 90s, people started hiking the tracks. So it's about 2,000 feet of elevation gain. and you get that in less than a mile. Yeah. So it's parts of it are a little bit flatter, but most of it is steep. I believe it goes up to a 45% grade for the incline. So there are times that people will use their hands to climb up the steep parts, especially if they have any kind of fear of heights. So it's intense. And then to get down, there's a trail. It's about 3 miles down, switchbacks. Some of the athletes who are more accustomed to hiking the incline, they'll take the trail back down, but it's recommended to take, the steps back down, which adds a whole nother level of challenge, taking those steps down. But typically the trail is taken back down, but it's tough. People come from all over the world to do it. And for most people, it's a one and done thing. It's a bucket list thing. One other fact, it starts at, I think, about 65 feet of altitude, and it goes up to about 85,000.
Somewhere right in there, 6,500 to 8,500.
Yeah. So it's the elevation is killer for people that come from sea level to do it.
Yeah, guys, like just to picture this thing, like imagine putting your ladder up against your house to get to the roof to do some construction, right? Imagine less than, more than a 45 degree and climbing that thing. Now imagine climbing that for a mile, okay? And then imagine climbing back down that ladder on the way down and looking, dealing with the fear of heights. And not only that, doing it at elevation, at altitude, where every breath that you take, it feels like you're breathing through a soda straw, and your heart rate feels like you're sprinting when you're just walking. Like you're hiking up these stairs, but your heart rate's going 160, 180 beats per minute. And you're trying not to get dizzy. You're trying to control your heart rate. And then you did that 1,000 times in a year.
I did.
You're probably still digesting all of it, huh?
I am. It doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
I was so focused on getting it done that once it's finished, to kind of step back and absorb it, I myself am like, how did I do that?
Amazing.
I don't know. I feel like if you told me to do it now, I would be like, there's no way. That's too big of a thing.
I was just telling my wife, I was like, I know you're still climbing it periodically right now, a little bit as well. And so I was telling her, I was like, she's in this flow state right now, like swimming, where your head is down. When you do something hard like this, your head gets in the zone and you just like, it's like your head is in the water. And once you pull out of that zone, it's like taking a breath of fresh air. And there's still a little bit of you where you haven't fully came up out of the water right now. You're still a little bit in that flow state. Yeah. Well, okay. So let's get a little recap on, because you did this event, made history. And not only did you do that, but you did it as a mom and, a great human being and a business owner, right? You're a small business. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a massage therapist. So I worked full time throughout this entire challenge. It's just me. So I don't have any employees, but I'm responsible for making sure everybody's taken care of. But yeah, working full-time, 16-year-old son. And so I really had to schedule this challenge around all the normal stuff going on in life.
What's a little bit about your upbringing? Are you originally from Colorado? Or can you kind of give me a once over on, your childhood and then where you're at now and everything?
So originally I was born in California. I moved to Pueblo when I was about 8. We lived on about 40 acres of land. So I kind of grew up out there, homeschooled, farm life, really non-traditional upbringing. And when I got into society, it was about middle school. So huge transition of learning to know people and stuff.
I get that.
So there was a lot there. But then high school here, I mean, I've been here in the Springs since. So I've been here in Colorado most of my life. Played a little bit of basketball in middle school and high school. After high school, I got pregnant with my first son when I was 20, single mom. And when he was about 5 is when I found the incline. So that was about 11 years ago. And that's when I first discovered the incline. And at that point, a few years prior to that, I had attempted to get into running. I'd never really run before. I had sports-induced asthma, shin splints, a long list of excuses. And I remember I did a 5K. I signed up for a 10K. I walked half of it because it was hard. And then I wanted to do a half marathon and I attempted to try and train for it. I looked up a training program. The program required me to run an hour a day. And I said, this is insane. I don't have time to run an hour a day every day just running. And that training program blew my mind. I thought it was a waste of time. It was too hard.
And I threw in the towel right there and said, I'll never be a runner. And I gave up on it. Yeah.
So your endurance journey started with quitting, essentially. Yeah.
It really did. I had the desire for it. My brother at the time was running marathons. And I thought that was so amazing. And I thought if I could do a half marathon, maybe one day I could do a full marathon and do like a marathon with him. I have an older brother that lived in California at the time. And so I tried. But this just gives you an idea of my mindset and the limitations that I had on my mind was that an hour a day exercising is too much. I truly believed that. I felt that it was too hard. I couldn't do it. So when it came to running, I gave up. So it is the incline that created this massive change for me, both physically and mentally.
Yeah. So you know, when I refer to those ceilings, those limitations that we have as invisible ceilings, right? We all put invisible ceilings on top of our head. And for me, when I was in the Army, it was the 2 mile run. I thought that that was like running 100 miles in my head. So your perception, when you're looking at something, you know, we all have those ceilings on us where we look at it and it looks like a bigger deal than it is. And then we develop a belief system around it, which is what you did. Yes. And it keeps you trapped. It keeps you trapped inside of that box of never expanding and never growing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's where my ceiling was. My ceiling was I, Rachel Jones, cannot do more than an hour of physical activity a day. That was my narrative.
Yeah.
And then I met the incline.
Yeah. So how did that change for you? I mean, when was the wake up moment or when did things start shifting from I can't to maybe I can?
So the very beginning of my incline journey was the most powerful for me. And this is why I fell in love with it. The first time I hiked the incline, I went with two friends. Now I'm at a time in my life where I'm just beginning to learn about personal development. I'm just beginning to learn how to step back and be aware of the thoughts that I'm having and being aware that maybe those thoughts aren't real. Maybe those thoughts are limitations. I'm just starting to learn about this. So we go to the incline. It's middle of the summer, worst time to go. I think it was June 7th or 8th, in middle of the day. So like 80 plus degrees. So it's extra difficult to go at this time, but we didn't know what we were doing. We just wanted to go do it.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd run up it. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I jogged for about 100 steps before I was completely out of breath and panicking and a disaster. All three of us complained the entire time, every step. We stopped and sat every like 50 steps or so. It was miserable. It was awful. We got to about halfway and we were so relieved to have a place to get off. As we were getting off, I remembered thinking about having that awareness of the complaining, of just the negative thoughts. And even though we were all glad to be done, there was that part inside of me that felt like I could keep going. Like I asked myself, do I really have to stop or could I actually take another step? Yeah. And I felt like I could take another step. Mm. So it bothered me that I walked away because I felt like I was being dishonest with myself. Mm. So I told myself, I'm going to come back without my friends and no disrespect to them. We were all in the same boat, but I was just in a place where I was starting to see that there might be another path. Yeah. So I went back. They did not want to come back ever. I don't think they ever, I think one of them eventually went back. The other one never did to this day, but I went back, I brought my music so I could have something more positive instead of negative talk. And I brought snacks. I brought water. I told myself I'm going to take all day. And my rule is if I can take another step, then I'll take another step. I'm going to keep going. And I'm not going to stop until I literally cannot take another step. And that time, it's like a week later, I got to the top. And it was probably one of the most profound breakthroughs of my life because for the first time, I had challenged those limiting beliefs. And I found out that it was all invisible. It was all fake. I could do it. And it's like, what else have I been telling myself in life I can't do? It just completely opened my world. I mean, between that mental breakthrough and the beauty of the incline, just the challenge itself, all the other stuff, I completely fell in love with that trail. And I was like, I'm going to do this again because I can.
Oh, I can only imagine the euphoria, the confidence. You know, there's nothing more satisfying than breaking through something like that, where you think you can't do it. And then you do it, you prove yourself. You're proving yourself wrong and right at the same at the same time. You're proving your limiting beliefs wrong, and you're proving yourself, your confidence, and the empowering side of yourself, right? And that had to have been a magical, magical moment. And I could see it when you're telling the story.
Incredibly empowering to be like, I get to choose the life that I want. I get to choose to either fail or I can choose to succeed. I got two different courses that I could follow here.
Yep.
Incredibly empowering. And now I need to start learning how to choose that success route.
Yes.
So I continued doing it. I did the incline for the next, like I said, it was about 11 years ago, but for those first 8 years, I did it maybe about 25 to 30 times a year. And I really started becoming obsessed with the local legends that had really cool records that were doing it multiple times.
Yep.
And going super fast and so friendly, so nice. I met a guy, Joseph Monger. He was there doing doubles every day. And his story was amazing. He told me he came there to die. His wife had died and they had been married for his whole adult life. His wife died and he was so depressed. He came there because people die on the incline. People have heart attacks. He came there thinking if he pushed hard enough, he would just die. He was done. Wow. And instead he became the brightest light up there.
Oh,
he did. He was doing doubles daily. He's saying hi to everybody, giving everybody hugs. Literally one of the happiest people I've ever met. So he was one of the first people I met that was encouraging me to go for doubles, encouraging me to come back, encouraging me to do more. And he told me about the 500 Club when it formed. It was about 10 years ago. And he was the third member of the 500 Club. Mm. And he is one of those first people that just inspired me. And he looked at me and said, we just have men right now. You could be the first woman. And my mind was like, really? The first woman? 500 times?
Yeah. And I got goosebumps the whole time you were talking about him. You're talking about your story because he went there to die, but he went there to live.
You know, is
the contrast realized. There.
Mm-hmm.
And then he expanded your vision for yourself. He challenged you a little bit more. He believed in you. You know, I think that everybody has these people that come into their life. I say that people come in for seasons or reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he came into your life for a reason. He was that person that breathed some empowerment into you and reinforce what you were looking for, which is you wanted to believe more in yourself and you wanted to challenge your beliefs and you wanted to say, you know what? I'm not going down this path of failure and defeat and negativity anymore. I'm going to choose success and I'm going to climb, you know?
Yeah.
You said something really interesting earlier. You said, when I got to the top the first time, my beliefs about myself changed. And you said, I started wondering what else could I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said that, you're kind of talking about the incline, but did it open your eyes up to more than just the incline? Like, what was the epiphany that you were having in that moment?
Well, I mean, it's all of life. I think being raised homeschooled and I came into society with a lot of limitations on myself. I'm not that kind of person. I can't do that. That's not for me. Those types of things. I really had that belief. And this is like, this is going to be crazy for you to hear, especially being military. I never joined the military because I didn't know that women could be in the military.
Oh.
And I didn't know that until I was like, maybe in my 20s or something. I thought maybe if a woman was in the military, it was like a secretary job. I didn't think it was like a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I came into the world with my mind was just so sheltered. I just didn't even know that was a thing.
Yep.
Something like going to college was just not ever an option. That was just way too big. But all of these things, when I saw people doing great things, in my heart, I wanted it. My whole life, I wanted to do more, to be my best, to grow. But my mind was always like, that's just not for you.
Oh, man.
You were just born into the wrong body, the wrong family, the wrong whatever. I always felt like I was living the wrong life and I just needed to accept it. So that breakthrough was like, oh, maybe I was also wrong about maybe, because I'm still my mind is still very small. But it was just that it was the first time I had hope that I could maybe have the life that I actually wanted.
So beautiful. And I can relate to that so much. I know we're really getting to know each other now. And I come from a small town of like 300 people. And it was like a village. The high school, my high school was like an hour away. And it was the same type of thing where I saw athletes on TV. I wanted to be an athlete, but that was like a whole nother planet to me. And I was like, that was so big. There's no way. There's a, just a huge disconnect between anything I could do and them. Right. Mm-hmm. So I can relate to your story a ton. And I know I understand the sheltered mentality and kind of getting out into regular society and it being overwhelming and everything. So very, very inspiring. And I think everybody can relate to the story regardless of where they come from, because we all have these limitations and we all, you know, humans are goal seeking organisms. We love growth. We love progress. And everybody deep down wants another version of them. They want something bigger and better. And so, again, your story is very, very inspiring. And I'm,
you know, that's what I've come to learn is when I talk to the people, the normal people that had like the normal lives and that have their life together and that stuff, I see that they have limitations as well. I see that those are people that I used to look at and think they had it all. They had all the opportunity. They have the perfect everything. And they'll voice being afraid to do the incline.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here I was imagining that everyone else had this perfect life and no limitations in this perfect place, but it's all of us. Some people just maybe hide it better or something, but everyone has these invisible ceilings.
So true. Now, so you basically had this breakthrough, you did it, and then you got your vision expanded. You met, you know, almost like a guide. I kind of look at this guy like a guide. He comes into your life, he pops in and he's like, listen, he's kind of like, you know, a prophet. He's like, you can do way more, right? And he kind of waves his wand or his staff. And you start thinking, okay, I wonder if I could. So what happens next? You start considering doubles. And when does the 1,000 in a year goal materialize? When did that become an idea?
So about 10 years ago, when I found out about the club, that's when the seed was planted. But for the next, I still wasn't ready to take on this challenge yet. I just wanted it really, really, really bad. And I looked at, like, I went home and I wrote on my calendar what that would look like. How could I make that happen? It's about 10 laps a week for a year. And you can break that down to maybe twice a day, 5 days a week. So I'm looking at this, like, I need to be able to do doubles 5 days a week to be able to do 500. At the time, I had only done one. So I need to do a double. So I did a double and that was brutal. That about killed me. And to do that every day was, I was so far away from being able to do that. At the time, my son was 5, single mom, barely getting by financially. And, you know, my car would break down going to the grocery store. So to go to the incline every day to hike. And then there's also my son. And there's also this mentality of there's no way you can do that. I drank too often. I had no clue anything about nutrition. Yeah. So they were just, and then the people in my life, my friends who I loved very much at the time, they just weren't the type of people that would do something like this. Like, this was stupid and crazy. Yeah. And when you're surrounded by people that don't do anything like this, it's very hard to tell everyone around you, hey, I'm going to do this crazy thing. And I trusted everybody's opinion. And so, you know, I realized I would need to upgrade my life in every way, become stronger physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, socially. Every area of my life would have to be upgraded in order for me to attempt this challenge. And I knew that and I wanted that. So I just kind of planted that in the back of my mind. One day I'm going to do this. So for those 8 years, I kind of acted like a tour guide to the incline. And I talked about it all the time. I've taken every one of my friends at least once. People who I didn't even know, I would post about it online and someone would say they want to go. And I'm like, okay, cool, I'll take you. Took them, told them all about it, pointed out the legends, pointed out the records. And I would just go as often as I could. And was just kind of obsessed with it and the challenge and told everyone one day I'm going to be in the 500 club. So when 2020 rolls around and the world gets locked down and the rules are stay inside, that was my chance to get outside more.
Yes.
I mean, we're in Colorado. It's the best place to have a pandemic if you have to have one. We have so many trails here and it's so easy to stay away from people, but still get outside and exercise. So it's like, I'm not going to stay inside, but I really got to explore hiking more and explore not only this city, but other areas, driving a couple hours away just to do a trail. And I started getting stronger and more confident and then just physically getting more into it. And then in 2021, that was when, I think it was the fall of 2021, there was one of my friends posted this challenge for Stop Soldier Suicide, that foundation.
Yeah.
And it's to run 100 miles in September. And I thought, I wonder if I could do 50 laps on the incline. The most I'd ever done was 30 in a month. I wonder if I can do 50 in a month. That would be 100 miles for this challenge. If I can do 50, then I'm going to use that as my kickoff for the 500. Mm. So I did. I worked my laps in all around my work schedule, and I got it at the end of September. I had 50 laps. So I said, I'm going to use this as momentum. You need about 42 a month to do 500. And you can do the numbers however you want. This is just an average. Yeah. And so it was September of 2021 that I decided to go for 500.
The, you know, as that journey, as your journey progressed, there, like, you lit this little fire when you got to the top of the incline. And it was like, I kind of picture it, you know, like you would inside the woods, you light a little piece of fire and you want to build it and make a bonfire, but it took a little while for that thing to really catch and develop. And it lit up when you decided to pursue the 500. And so a lot of people out there are hunting and searching for drive and this motivation, and they want to be inspired. They want to feel fused with their goal, like you got fused with your goal in this moment. Can you pinpoint, like, what was it that was causing you to work on that fire? Like, can you pinpoint what your desire was? Was it just the idea of doing something greater, or was there more, is there more in there than that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Like, where did the desire start coming from? Like, where do you think it came from?
A part of it was a sense of connecting with my truth. I had this feeling that because I really wanted to do that, I deserved to be able to do that, and that was okay. And it was sort of this thought I had that was like, this is really hard. This is really challenging. You know, a lot of people can't do this. You want to do it and you can. This is for you because you want it, because it's hard, because it's challenging. You're the type of person that can do this. Like, I felt that within me, even though my mind told me, absolutely no way, for years. It's too hard. I had all the excuses. There was this sense of belonging in that place of doing the hardest thing. I felt like I just felt like I could, even though I couldn't make sense of it. My mind couldn't make sense of it.
Yeah. Well, what it sounds like is you wanted to prove yourself right.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to prove yourself like you were capable. This climb is the thing that symbolized all of it. You put all of that meaning into the incline and you said, you know what? You are more, you're capable of more. Prove yourself right. Go do it and don't listen to all the negative stuff that's pulling you down. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to prove to myself that I could have whatever life I wanted and that I am in control of creating whatever life I wanted. And if this was it, no matter how crazy the goal was, as long as I apply myself, I am strong enough that I can do this. And that was the feeling that I was chasing, that confirmation that, like, yes, you can. When I've spent so much of my life thinking, no, I couldn't. So my strategy in fanning that fire, a big part of it was, like I said, I do a lot of personal development and I like vision boards. So I started with putting some pictures of the guys from the 500 club on my vision board. And when I did that, I still didn't think I could ever be in the 500 club at the time. It was like a few years ago, put it on my wall. So that's just going to be there because I am going to be in that club one day. And my next thing was, you become like the five people you surround yourself with, right? So I thought, I need to know these legends, these people who have already done it. I just need to know, I need them to know my name. I know all their names. So I need to start talking to them. So as I'm hiking throughout 2020 and 2021, that's when I started like stopping them and being like, hey, Steve, you don't know me, but I know you, you're a legend. You're the fourth member of the Incline Club. And, you know, like all these, this fangirl thing.
Yeah.
And Jordan and Greg, and I'm like stopping them and saying hi and introducing myself. You know, I want to be like you one day, but I needed to know them. I needed them to know me because I need them to be the ones that are speaking life into me about this and not speaking to other people about this who would them themselves would never do it. And it's okay that they never would. But if you seek out those people that have done it, you're way more likely to learn how to do it and be inspired to do it and encouraged by people standing in those positions. So I made it my point to know all of those people and kind of become in the inner circle so that I could figure out how do I make this happen. And I learned so much. I got so many tips, so much encouragement, so much inspirement, and that I was able to finally go for it.
Well, getting around the right team is a lot of the keys to like any type of success, right? Like, because when you get around, you said you're the average of the five people you hang around. Well, when you get around those people, one, you're already behaving like somebody that achieves at the level that you want. So you're increasing your odds there. Second, you're increasing your odds of success because, like you just mentioned, you're getting all the secrets, the tips, the techniques, the strategies, all at a very fast pace from real experience and not from a, you know, you're not getting bad advice from good people essentially, if you were to go the other way, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Really, One of the biggest things I noticed is that they all go in the morning, early morning, like 5, 6 a.m. All the regulars, all the legends, all the longtime regulars, they're all there super early. And at the time, I hadn't seen 6 a.m. in years when when I figured this out. Yeah. And I spent my whole life, one of those beliefs, I'm a night owl. I'm a night person. Thought that most of my life. And I made that affirmations was one of the things that I do as well. I made that my affirmations. I started saying I'm a morning person. Even though I didn't want to be one, I started saying I'm a morning person. I'm a morning person. I have to become a morning person because the people that are doing what I want to do are morning people. So I got to figure out how to become a morning person. And sure enough, it worked. But those are the type of little tips that you get when you immerse yourself in that environment.
Yeah. And you got to take some courage. It takes some courage to get on the trail. It takes some courage to get in and say what's up to those people that are already there. And then it takes the inner and the self work to reaffirm your position, right? I am a morning person and kind of keep working on those, destroying those belief systems that are holding you back. So the 500 club, we start pursuing that, talking through the 500 club and then on the way to completing a 1,000.
So as I'm doing the 500 club, I'm also working on sort of working on another goal. When I work on goals, it's always like my toe in the water because I'm scared. I can't really do it. There's another challenge on the incline that the locals made up called an inclinathon. An inclinathon, because the trail itself is about a mile up, mile down. If you do that 13 times in a row, it's about 26 miles, which is about the distance of a marathon. Well, when I first heard about inclinathons, of course, I thought, I can't even do a marathon. I can't even do a half marathon. There's no way I could ever do an inclinathon. That was out. That was like, that's for people who are more intense athletes than those that do marathons. So that's completely out of the question, but I thought it was amazing they were doing that many laps. Me being the incline fangirl I was and having this obsession of pushing myself, I liked to just do more and more double or multiples to see what I could do. So after I did my double, of course, the next thing is I wonder if I can do a triple. Okay, I did a triple. I wonder if I can do a quad. That was my big goal. Okay, I did four. And then it was like, well, I wonder if I can do, I think I wanted to do five. And I did it. And I remember when I got it, I wasn't done. So I was unsatisfied. So I was like, well, now I have to do six because five wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Anyways, that kind of kept going. And this is while I'm going for my, I think this is right before I started the 500 actually. That summer right before it, I got eight back to back. And when I got eight, I was like, dang, I did eight. Maybe I can do 13. Like no woman had done an inclinathon before. And I thought, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to try it. So in October, I attempted to do an inclinathon and I got 11 laps. It needs to be done within 24 hours. I did 11 laps in 23 hours. I failed, but it was one of the best failures of my life because I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. If I had gotten it, I would have probably felt disappointed and felt like, well, I could have did more.
Yeah, you were holding yourself back. You would have thought you were holding yourself back. Yeah,
exactly. I felt like I still had room to grow and that I could continue making progress. And so though it was disappointing, I was like, this is so cool. I got 11. I couldn't quite do 13 yet. That means if I keep training, maybe I can. So I did my 11 in October. I'm still continuing counting towards 500. As I'm going along, I'm looking at my numbers. What I do is I have a calendar. I have all my numbers written out, which days I'm going to hike, how many. And I find myself realizing that I am going to finish early. I'm capable of finishing early. And this did not excite me. It kind of was disappointing because this is supposed to be a big challenge. It's supposed to be hard. If I need to do 10 in a week and I'm physically capable of doing 11 in a day, you can see that I sort of have outgrown what I was originally going after. And that's when I realized it's not even about the number. It's not about 500. It was about using this challenge to grow and to transform me. And I wasn't getting that if I was going to finish early, because then I'm like, well, what number should I finish on? I can finish early. I found myself not going to hike certain days because I didn't have to, because I can make up for it the next day by doing five laps instead of, and it was like, this isn't what I wanted. So I need to make this harder so that I can actually challenge myself in the way that I want to.
Yeah. Discover your actual potential. I did a social media post one time about how I enjoy failure. You know, failure, it sucks, but I like it because failure is honest. It tells you where you're at.
Yes. Right?
Like if you win something and succeed all the time, you never really get a true benchmark for what your capability is. Like you're delusional, right? Yeah. But if I hit an obstacle, I hit a failure, then I'm like, oh, okay, there's my actual potential. It's not over here. And I can totally relate to how that feels of being dissatisfied and being like, okay, this is meaningless if I'm going to finish on, you know, finish early. And what I'm really after is finding my true limitation and making myself grow.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted. That same wall that I hit with the 11, I loved that. And I wanted that in this overall challenge. I wanted another wall to hit. And I felt like I thought 500 was going to be my wall, and it was not. I was going to blow past it. And now I'm sitting here trying to figure out, well, how hard do I want to work? Do I want to end on 600? Do I want to end on 700? And it was like, I felt like I was getting lazy. So as I was getting through my 500 that first year in 2021, there was another man, Christel. He was working on 1,000 that year. And I knew there were two other men who had done over 1,000. That's Greg Cummings and Roger Austin. And they both have gone back and forth with the record. They're the king of the incline is the title that they have. And Christel was going to be the third member, the third guy who's done 1,000 times. And that's when I found out that there was 1,000 club, and it was just these three guys. So there were no women in it yet. And if I could do 1,000, I would be the first woman to do this. And that was, though, that seemed more impossible. That's from where I was at, that seemed more impossible. And I felt like that's the goal that I need to have. My goal needs to not be something that I feel like I can do. It needs to be something I feel like I can't do. And then the challenge is figuring out how to do it.
Yes.
So I decided along the way to start counting towards 1,000. And it wasn't the same September 1st start date. I picked a date later in December to start, because as far as these clubs go, you just have to do however many laps within 365 consecutive days. That's the ruling on it. And I just started working towards 1,000. And I got so much more excited about the challenge again, because now it was way harder. Now I needed to play catch up. And now I had a bigger goal. And I just dove in. And as far as that Inclinathon goes, June came around and I attempted it again, and I got it this time. And then a couple of days later, I came out and did it again. So I got two Inclinathons within a week. And then summer came along, and summer was brutal. It was hot. It was wonderful. I love summer so much more than the winter. And I didn't do any Inclinathons. I did a bunch of laps though. And I trained and trained and trained. And I was testing this theory of doing long days so that I can do more Inclinathons. And come end of August, I just started popping off Inclinathons. I did another 8 between the end of August and like mid October. So I did 10 total for the year, which is like the women's record for most a woman has done is 10 in a year. So I wasn't the first woman to get an Inclinathon, not the first woman in the 500 club, but just having those goals to reach for really pushed me.
Yeah.
So
what a, man, it's just, okay. So there's just a lot to unpack here, because one of the things that you just mentioned in that little segment there, I wish more people embodied and understood, is that the purpose of goals is not to achieve. The purpose of goals is to grow.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. I need to write that down.
And well, you said it, I'm just saying it in a simple form, right? But so it's, yeah. But it's true. It's, you know, I got a lot of people are chasing the outcome and the results, but like you and I both know, when you get the result, it feels good, but it's actually a little bit defeating too at the end of it, because you're like, it's over. Like the adrenaline, the excitement, the growth is kind of over. Now you got to kind of go through searching again and finding something else. And, and so the whole process, like when people say it's about the journey, not the outcome or whatever the saying is, what they're after is the growth. And that's what we're describing here. More people need to know that the purpose of goals is to grow. It's not to achieve.
So
well said. Okay. So moving on to accomplishing 1,000, you know, when you do 1,000 climbs in a year, that's a lot of time. There's cold weather, there's snow, there's rain, there's sun. I don't know if you got injured at all. You might've rolled your ankle one day. You know, you have life that happens. A lot of stuff happens in a year. So you have to overcome tons of adversity across 1,000 climbs. What was some of the hardest moments in that journey to 1,000 for you?
So you're right. That's what makes this challenge so unique and so difficult, is that you're signing up to do something that's going to take a whole year, and you have no idea what is going to come into your life in the next year, but you're committing to working around it. And there was one man going for 500 that fell and broke his wrist in two places and had to be gone for a couple of weeks and heal up, and then came back and still finished early. And there's another one of our army guys, he was deployed for like several months. He wasn't even here. And he still came back and had to catch up and finish early. But it's like, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into when you're like, I'm going to do this crazy, huge, big, hard, time consuming challenge for the next year. But the weather, I think the really hot summer, the really, really cold winter, being up there in negative degrees, like when it's, no matter what the weather's doing, you still have to get your laps in. Yeah. So you can only hold back so much and be flexible so much. You still got to get your numbers. So there are a lot of little variables, a lot of little challenges, getting sick. I mean, I had COVID during this, couldn't be there for a couple weeks. For me personally, I was very fortunate to not get injured, to not have any kind of physical mishap as far as an injury goes. The weather challenges I dove into because now I got to learn how to train in the heat, and learn how to train in the cold, and learn techniques and gear to bring and strategies and food and hydration. And that was fun. When the weather changes, and now it's like, okay, now it's a different game.
Yeah.
Now we have to survive in a different element, and now with different types of foods. And how do I keep my food cold and my water cold, or my water warm, keep it from freezing? There's all of these different little aspects. And that's just a part of for me, that was a part of the fun, because it's just more of a challenge. And all of that stuff was great. The biggest challenge that I had was at the end of August, I finished my 500 year at 735. But I was still counting towards 1,000. So as I proceeded through September and October were supposed to be my biggest months. In October, I had signed up for the virtual vertical challenge. This is an online challenge. It's nationwide. People sign up. We use Strava to track all of our data. And we also use this for the incline. And then we upload our elevation gain. It's a challenge to see who can get the most elevation gain within a month.
Yeah.
There's prizes for individuals. There's prizes for teams. I was on a team. I was planning a huge month for October. And come September, that's when I'm really diving into all my inclinathons. However, I'm slowing down. My heart rate is elevated and I'm realizing I might be overdoing it. Maybe I'm overtraining.
Yeah.
I'm getting more tired. I'm thinking my period must be coming. I'm getting really bad symptoms.
Yeah.
End of September, September 30th, the day before the Vert Challenge. That's when I discover that I am pregnant. And though my boyfriend and I are incredibly excited, and this is definitely something that we have very much wanted, we weren't necessarily planning on having a baby this soon. Yeah. So the pregnancy came a little bit sooner than we had planned for. However, we're both very excited. But when I found out, man, it's just all of the training I've done, I know my time. I know exactly how much time I need to be there. I have every lap down to the minute.
Yep.
You know, I'm doing a round trip in about a little over an hour.
Yep.
And I know the food I need. I know the sleep I need, the clothing I need, the gear, everything I have down to like a science. And as soon as I become pregnant, all of that goes out the window. All of it. I have no idea how I'm going to feel the next day. I have no idea how much sleep I need. I used to need 7 hours. I could function off of 6. I did an inclinathon off of 4 hours one night. Like I could make it work off of very little sleep. Now I'm sleeping. I can't get out of bed unless I get 11, 12 hours some days. There were days I wanted 10 laps. I could only go up there and get 2. The fatigue was brutal. The food that I brought that I'm so used to and knowing when to eat it, it's making me nauseous. Gosh. So now I have to find different foods that aren't going to make me nauseous. And my appetite is changing from day to day.
Yeah.
So it's literally like, everything I trained for, it all went out the window.
Yeah. When I found out I was pregnant. Well, there's two sides to performance, right? There's the mental and then there's the physical. Mm-hmm. And you know, most people are holding themselves back mentally, mm-hmm. and they're holding themselves back and using the physical as an excuse, but very few people are actually being limited physically. Mm-hmm. But being limited physically is a real thing. You like, obviously if you're pregnant, your body's going to chemically react differently.
Yes.
And so now you've gotten through the belief system, but now it's like, okay, now I'm in this meat sack. I'm in this human sack that I have a real limitation with, and I got to figure this shit out. So now, but at the same time, you probably are thinking, okay, how can I use the strength of my mindset to get me through the rest of this? How can I leverage that and still figure the F out, you know?
It was a complete reversal where now my mind was still incredibly strong, but my body had become weakened. And so I spoke to my doctor, told her what I was doing. She, because I had already hiked so much leading up to the beginning of my pregnancy, she was fully on board with me continuing. She said I would just have to work around the pregnancy symptoms, but my body was acclimated to hiking this much, so it was safe for me to continue. So I said, I can do this physically. It's hard. I have to take it one day at a time. I just have to just go out there and do my best. And that's what I did. Like I said, from hour round trips to now, it was taking me 2 hours, sometimes 2.5 hours for one lap.
Oh, wow.
That frustration of being there for 6 hours and only doing three laps.
Yeah.
When I had to be able to do four or five in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Easily. I also, because this was such a new scary thing, I wanted to protect my pregnancy from all of the opinions of all of the other people. So I kept it to myself and didn't tell anybody. I completely hid it from all of the other people on the trail. And I felt like I need to get through this first.
Right.
Because I already was like, I don't know how my body's going to change. I don't know if suddenly I'm going to get these crazy pregnancy symptoms that won't allow me to hike anymore, or I don't know. So I just needed to keep that private and just keep pushing and see what I can do. Now, this pregnancy, though I say that was it was an obstacle, but it was a huge, huge blessing in this challenge, because me going slower, it reminded me of that very beginning when I first started hiking the incline. Because my first time getting to the top, it took me like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was almost like being teleported back in time to my first times hiking when I was slower and weaker. And it was incredibly humbling. And I thought it was so cool that I felt like I was back at day one.
Yeah.
And the fact that my body felt that way, but my mind was now strong, it made me wonder how much more I could have done back then.
Yeah.
Because here I was still doing it. And still doing multiples. I slowly cut back from doing the inclinathons. I did 8 of my inclinathons while pregnant, but as the symptoms continued, it got harder and harder to do. It got to the point where the most I could do in a day was 6 or 7 instead of like 10 to 13 laps, but still I was doing 6 or 7 and I was going super slow. And I'm like, I wonder if I could have actually been able to do this 10 years ago. But anyways, that was amazing experience. Also, if I had not gotten pregnant, not only would I have finished the 1,000, I actually would have finished early. I was on track to finish the 1,000 early, like a few months early.
Yeah.
So I found myself back in that same position of finishing the challenge early. So I was going to just go beyond it and just get as many laps as I could. But then there's the challenge, the question of, well, what number do I end on? What's enough? What's, you know, it was never about the number for me. It was about the challenge. So I ended on my last day. I ended right at 1,000. In fact, I went to 1,003 because my mom's birthday is October 3rd. And I thought it'd be cool to do that as a tribute to her. She's like one of my biggest supporters. Her and my son have been my biggest supporters this whole time.
Yeah.
So I really felt like I got to empty the tank because the pregnancy came up and it pushed me and challenged me to actually to reach that goal.
Yeah. What a beautiful way to conclude it, you know? And like you said, it had that not have happened, it wouldn't have had such a beautiful ending.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
As you, so what was that? Oh, I have a couple other questions I want to hit you with as we kind of close it up, but talk about that moment of completion for you. What did it had to have been bittersweet, right? It had to have been very rewarding, very fulfilling. Like, oh my God, it's done. But it's also like, man, what's next? I don't know. What were you going through in that moment? What's like the mindset of somebody that completes 103, empties the tank, and, yeah, just talk me through that mindset. Where's your head at the end of that?
So this is an interesting question that I get a lot, and it's not as glamorous. The answer is not as glamorous as you would think. I was so incredibly relieved to be done.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I was miserable at the end of this challenge, which is good. That's what I wanted. I was suffering. I was ready, so beyond ready to just be done. The last 100 laps I did, I was beyond ready to be done. And so it wasn't fun. You know, I didn't finish this feeling strong and great and good. And I crawled across the finish line, and that was what I wanted. That was the level of energy I wanted to give to this.
Yes.
So I wasn't complaining about it, but at the same time, I was like, I'm just done. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to hike anymore. I just want to be done.
Yeah.
I'm getting bigger. The pregnancy is getting further along. I'm so tired of this. You know, I should have finished early. It was like all of that. So me finishing this was all through just sheer discipline and willpower. There wasn't joy and fun and like, yay, I did it. And then on top of that, because I do a lot of visualizing, I've seen myself do my 1,000th lap probably 1,000 times before I actually did it.
Right.
So when you do that, it helps you to stay on track and helps you have something to look forward to. And it helps keep you motivated. But there's like this momentum when you manifest things that you have to have already lived it before it actually happens. And then later time catches up and then it happens. But my mind was actually on the future. My mind was already on getting ready for the baby and all the stuff that I'm going to do in preparation for it. I was over 1,000 by the time I hit it. I'm like, okay, finally. That's how I felt. I was like, okay, finally, this is done. I've done this. I've hit 1,000 times. I'm so ready to be done with 1,000.
No, it makes perfect sense, you know, because when your body doesn't know the difference between a reality and an imagination, like an experience, a mental experience, right? So yeah. When you're there over and over and over again in your imagination, it's like you can see the victory, you can feel the victory, you can feel the completion. And you, when you've developed the belief system to know that you're going to see it through, the goal is done. And mm-hmm. everything else in between that is just a nuance. It's just in the way. It's like,
it is. I felt like everyone else was excited that I hit 1,000, but yeah. I wasn't excited because I'm like,
yeah.
I already hit 1,000. I really felt yeah. like I hit 1,000 so many times. So it really yeah. was just relief. And yeah, my mind is always ahead in the future. So yeah.
That's a beautiful, I mean, it's real talk is what it is. And I think what'll end up happening as you decompress, as you're coming out of 1,000 and moving into another chapter is you're reflecting now and you're going to keep reflecting and the experience is just going to get richer and richer in your mind at the further mm-hmm. you kind of get from it. Right. Cause you're going to think about the journey and everything. And I think the bitterness the work kind of goes away and fades and you're probably already doing it now where you look back, you're like, man, what the hell was I thinking?
Seriously.
But that reflection is awesome. So I want to pull apart some strategies here for everybody as we keep diving in. There's been a ton already. Like I picked up on a ton of things of, you know, getting around the right people, taking good advice from good people, not bad advice from good people. I talked about like picked up on the real, like tapping into your desire, like why you're doing something. You know, if you want to achieve a goal, you got to make the why, make the meaning bigger mm-hmm. than just the goal. It needs to symbolize something for you personally, which for you is about growth, breaking through these barriers. You know, I learned about problem solving from you, like see every challenge that pops up as an opportunity to grow and adapt and make it fun. There's been a ton of things, but you said something recently in a social media post that I read, and you said, I personally believe how you go about achieving something is more important than the achievement itself. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really well put. Could you elaborate on that briefly? Like what exactly does that statement mean to you?
So these incline challenges have grown dramatically over the last couple of years. And because this community is getting a lot more attention, it's bringing more people out to compete in these challenges. And we're seeing more people coming out chasing the goal rather than the growth. I don't know how you said that earlier where it made sense. Or it's not about the end.
That was well put. The way you said it was good too.
And because of that, when you get caught up in trying to have all the glory that comes with accomplishing something and not going about it with integrity, then you really miss out on your own journey and you really miss out on the whole purpose of doing something like this. So this community is incredible. It's one of the most positive, empowering, supportive communities I've ever known or been a part of. However, as the community grows, it does attract a certain type of person. And those people exist in every walk of life, in every community, in every organization, where they don't get that it really is about the grind and it's not about the trophy at the end. Like I just said, when I got to the end, I didn't get anything out of doing 1,000 laps. That was probably the most unfulfilling day as far as growth goes. It was just nothing but relief, but I didn't feel like I became any better on that 1,000th day. It wasn't like, yes, now I'm like, now I did it. I'm accepted. Now I'm like, no, all of that came in little by little throughout the whole 1,000. And you don't get that until you've walked it. And when you see it from the outside, you're like, oh, the day she did 1,000, that's when she became great. Like, no, it was all along the way.
Yes.
So
I like to say a champion is a champion, like an MMA, a champion's a champion before he gets the belt. He just gets the belt. He just gets the belt the day that everybody else recognizes him, but he's been doing champion shit his whole life, right?
Yes. And the attention that comes at the end, it seems so glamorous and everybody's praising that person. And as humans, we need attention. We need validation from other people. And for some people, it's a small amount of people, just the people close to you. Some people feel like the more attention you get from more people, the better you'll feel. And some people really seek that from outside of themselves. And so that's what I meant by that post is, If you're pursuing a goal and you're cheating or you're lying or you're manipulating people or you're being dishonest or mean or just if it's bringing out the worst of you, just for the sake of you being able to say you did something because you think you're going to get a lot of clout because of that. You're going to get a lot of attention and love and admiration.
Yeah.
And you're willing to just destroy your character. That's completely counterproductive to the purpose of a goal in the first place. These challenges should be bringing out the best of you. You should walk out of these challenges a better person, because that's what personal development is. You're making yourself a better person, and then that transitions into every aspect of your life. So I have come out of this challenge as a better mother, as a better friend, as a better massage therapist. Every aspect of my life grows from this when you work on strengthening your foundation. So I think, you know, for people to not lose sight of the real purpose of why you do something like this, you're not just going out there being reckless and completely operating without integrity.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of a win. It's, in my opinion, that's a loss to me.
Oh, absolutely. And you're not going to walk away with the same confidence that's going to come from doing it right, doing it from a place of, like you said, integrity and intention.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for somebody that wants to get the most out of a growth goal? So they have a goal that they set. They like the idea of something. Maybe it's a marathon. Maybe it's a business goal. Maybe they want to grow their business or something like that. And they're really valuing the result, and they want to value the process and their approach more. What advice do you have for them to shift their mindset? Like, how can I, as a person, stop focusing so much on the result and start focusing more on the growth that's going to come from the approach to the goal?
The best thing to do is really shift your focus on the moment. And I think that we distract ourselves too much by looking at the end result the whole time. And this can be a great strategy to get through something. I'll use the incline for an example. There are people who, when they're doing the incline, they just think about, got to get to the top, got to get to the top, got to get to the top. And that really helps distract them from the torture they're going through getting to the top and how hard it is, if they can focus their mind there. If that works for you in a positive, productive way, you have to know yourself, because everybody's different. I can't tell you one blanket way of what you should do. That does work for some people, and it helps to keep them focused, eye on the prize, eye on the goal, and then they can get through the hardships.
Yeah.
However, for a lot of people, they stand at the base of the incline and they look at the top and they get completely overwhelmed, and they feel like there's no way that they can do it. There's no way that it freaks them out. It's too scary. It's too high. It's too hard. And honestly, it really is impossible to do, to go from the bottom to the top, to teleport and do that. So, and that's why our minds tell us you can't do that. It's too far.
Yeah.
So if you look at just the step in front of you and just ask yourself, don't ask, can I get to the top? Ask yourself, can I get to that step right there? And the answer 99% of the time is going to be yes. I can take one more step. I can do that one step and then go on to the next step. Stop worrying about what happens out there, because you know that these steps all connect. Eventually you are going to get there. So when you have that big goal and you're just, and if you being too wrapped up in that goal is hurting your life around you now, then you really have to pull back and you have to bring your attention into the now and be appreciative and be grateful and be focused and look for little challenges within the challenges. The truth is, nobody knows if we're actually going to make it to that goal, just because that's how life is. You might not live long enough to hit that goal. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. So find your fulfillment in the small achievements that you get today. Celebrate the fact that you took a step today and think about how you took it. And if you took it with the right form, and if you took it with the right attitude, and if you're hydrated, and if you're fueled when you took it, and just take care of yourself in the moment and be aware of how you're treating the other people around you as you're taking it too.
That's so good. You know, cause I can see myself achieving big, like working towards big goals, like the incline or business with that example. And I know when I get out on the incline, one of the things that I work on is my attitude out there. Anytime I'm doing something, like when I was in the military and I'd go to a military school, you had these people that would count down the number of days till the school was over.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, oh, Ranger school, 62 days in a wake up, 61 days in a wake up, 60 days in a wake up. And these are like steps up the incline. And for me, I would get super annoyed at that. And if I think about the end, whatever I'm doing gets super, it puts too much pressure on it. And I don't like it. So I like to detach from that. And I used to live in this state that there is no end. I'm in Ranger school for life. And I said, I'm just going to have that mindset and I'm going to go here, do Ranger school. And then one day I'll wake up and it'll all be over and I'll be like, okay, then I'll address the fact that it's over. But it's like, like you said, one day at a time, and don't put all of our attention on the outcome. Stop putting all of our attention, unless it's working for you, of course. But if you can, if it's not working for you, shift your attention, focus on today, focus being on, you know, being perfect for one step, one climb, and just doing that over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was having this conversation about, or with my son, and it was on this similar topic, because he's got a job, and he just works a fast food job. And my perspective, the reason why I like to focus on the moment, is because this is our life and something you can't get back. Your time, you can't get back. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can still take ownership of this is your life, and you can still choose how to do that thing. So if you're going to count down the hours to get through the day because you hate your job, you're literally wishing your life away is what you're doing. And people do that. They're looking at the clock, 30 minutes left, and they're counting down. And when you step back and realize this is your life you're wishing away. So do you want to do that? Do you want to be the type of person who is asking for time to go by, our most valuable asset? Or do you want to find out a way to enjoy those last 30 minutes? Just because you're at a job that maybe you don't necessarily enjoy, you can find a way to find joy in it, because you can still value that you're living your life. So that's something I was explaining to him, because that's, you know, an attitude a lot of people have at their jobs or getting through challenges. This is miserable. I need to count down. But it's like, dude, you're wishing your life away. Be careful what you wish for. You know, like eventually you're not going to have life anymore, and you're going to wish you had that time back. So even when you're miserable and you're suffering, just, that's what I felt like a lot on the incline. The times that I was the most miserable, the times I was pregnant and slow, and I just sat there like, damn, this is so cool that I'm doing this. I am pregnant and slow, and I'm still up here. And I wanted 8 laps today, but I got two pregnant, and I'm still here, and it's beautiful. And, you know, bringing your attention back to that moment and just being grateful for what you do have. Yeah. And then eventually the time's going to pass anyways. If you just stay on track, eventually you're going to get there to whatever your goal is if you stay consistent. So you just have to have faith in that process. Like, you'll get there, and try to enjoy the journey.
what a great, great story. You know, Rachel, you have a beautiful soul, amazing perspective. The lens that you look through life is so valuable. And I think more people need to hear your story. I'm so grateful that we got a chance to pick apart your journey, and it's just something that I think the world needs right now. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share my journey, and especially for allowing me to talk about the mental and emotional aspects around it all, because that's really where all the value is in it for me.
Yeah.
So thank you.
As we wrap up here. So I don't know what's next for you, and then how can people kind of stay connected to you somehow? You're on social media a little bit, right? So what's the best way for people to stay connected with you?
Yeah, I've got Instagram. It's Rachel Michelle 719 is my Instagram name. I'm on Facebook as well. I don't really do anything else, just really those two. But as far as what's next, I am at 448 right now, as far as how many laps I've done pregnant. Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to see if I can get to 500 before I can give birth. So I can start the 500 fetus club.
Good.
That's just a stupid fun goal. I like to have something to shoot for. So if I can do 500 before I deliver, cool. But mainly I just want to stay active. I want to stay healthy throughout this pregnancy. And on the other side of it, I really want to get back to doing another inclinathon. Those are fun. Those are that challenge. There's just so many variables. There's so many elements. I love the inclinathon. So I want to get back to doing that after I give birth. See how long it takes before I can do 13 laps again.
Yeah. Well, I love it. Please keep us all informed, you know, whether it's posted on social media, on Instagram or Facebook, but please continue to tell your story, because it's a very fun one, to inspiring one to watch. And, you know, it's like you mentioned with going up the incline, and you wanted to find and be around the legends. You know, I think there's people out there that are looking for other people to group up with. And when you start sharing your story, you're going to attract that person, and you're going to do that person a favor. So I just please keep sharing it, and I'll be one of those people too, that I'll be looking for your story all the time. What's Rachel doing?
Cool.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say before to the audience or anybody as we close off here? Any final pieces of advice or words of encouragement or anything that you want to hammer home as we close up?
Yeah, this is going to sound crazy, but you know, most of the stuff I say is crazy. When it comes to goal setting, I guess I've found that when you pick your goal, if you can pick something beyond it and just expose yourself to that, if you can just plant that seed. If you want to do a marathon, look at a training plan for a 50K. Just do it. Just even though that's too much and you don't really want to, just because you never know. You really don't. And if you can plant that seed in your mind and you can look at it, first of all, it minimizes the goal that you actually want. It doesn't make it seem so scary because you see that more can be accomplished. You know, if you want to make $10,000 in a month, look at what would it be like to make 50,000? Like, just allow yourself to dream and allow yourself to be around bigger things that are harder. Maybe it's scary and you feel like you don't want to want it, but just plant that seed because you never know where it could go. And if you did start training for that 50K, even though you really only want to do a marathon, if you fail, then you're just going to fail at your original goal, which is a marathon, right? So no harm done. But I think too often we pick goals that we're comfortable with. And if you pick something that you truly feel like you can do, you don't get that growth, because the growth comes from, I don't think I can do this, and then doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a goal that doesn't cause you to grow, it's just a task.
Yeah, exactly.
Very yes. Well. So I love that idea too, by the way. That's something I'm going to bring into my life of the goals and that I'm chasing it. You know, I think that we all can think bigger. It doesn't mm-hmm. take any more energy to think about two different types of goals. It requires the same amount of energy. So why not think beyond what you want to accomplish and just play with it? Doesn't mean that you have to commit to it for life. Just start getting familiar with it and romanticize it. And
yes.
Next thing you know, that little seed that you're planting, it's going to grow a little bit, and you might want to nurture it one day and actually go after it.
Exactly. But it's never going to happen if you completely shut it. If you put a ceiling there,
right?
Just allow yourself to dream.
Really good. Well, Rachel, thank you again so much. Ladies and gentlemen, amazing, amazing interview today. And I'm excited to be pushing this out. Please share it with your friends and family members. I am beyond inspired right now. And I know that you guys found value in it. So if you did, if you laughed, if you learned, or if you were inspired, do us a favor, share it with a friend today and spread this good message. Rachel, thank you once again. And ladies and gentlemen, until next time, be the leader.
I need some motivation. Motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Crowding myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king. I am a queen. I am more than the people can see. I am strong when I'm needing to be. Vulnerability's nothing to me. You can try, but I'm unshakable. My successes is never debatable. I'm chameleon. I'm so interchangeable. Here's to you and all that you are capable. You gotta go hard, better get it.